This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, my name is Mary McConnell, reading sports news from ESPN.com for Friday, April the 19th, 2024. It's from Radio Reading Services of the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Going to start off with an article. It's entitled RB J.K. Dobbins plans to sign a one-year deal with the Chargers. Former Baltimore Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins plans to sign a one-year contract with the Los Angeles Chargers per his agency LAA Sports. The move reunites him with Craig Roman, his former offensive coordinator in Baltimore, as well as his former Ravens backfield mate, Gus Edwards. Dobbins was Ravens' lead back when healthy. He brings a style different from the Edwards that features elusiveness and the ability to catch passes out of the backfield. The Ravens didn't do a ton of throwing to running backs, but in Dobbins' rookie season with Roman, he caught a career-high 18 passes. The Chargers and quarterback Justin Herbert relied heavily on former running back Austin Eckler in the passing offense in the past, and Dobbins could potentially have an impact there. Dobbins' signing continues a wave of former Ravens who are now Chargers that extends to the front office from GM Joe Hortitz to tight ends coach Andy Bischoff and tight end Hayden Hurst. Dobbins is one of the most explosive backs in the league, but has struggled with injuries. Over the past three seasons, he was sidelined for 42 of the Ravens' 51 games, including the last 16 of last season because of a torn Achilles. Dobbins is 25 and has averaged 5.8 yards per carry during his career, which is the highest amount running backs with at least 200 carries since 2020. He has produced a run of 10 or more yards on 15.4% of his attempts, 36 of 234 carries, that over the past four seasons, which ranks behind only Nick Chubb at 17.1% and Jaylen Warren at 15.5% among running backs. After setting a Ravens rookie record with 9 touchdowns, Dobbins was set to take over the starting running back spot in 2021 until he suffered a season-ending left knee injury in the preseason finale. In 2022, he wasn't at full strength and missed 9 games while trying to recover from knee surgery. Heading into the 2023 opener, Dobbins declared himself 100% healthy for the first time in 3 years. Then 5 minutes after halftime of the Week 1 game against Houston Texans, Dobbins took a short pass in the right flat and injured an Achilles when he was wrestled to the ground 2 yards shy of the end zone. A second-round pick out of Ohio State in 2020, Dobbins has totaled 1,347 rushing yards and 12 touchdown runs in 24 games with Baltimore. He is one of the 3 running backs to be drafted in the first 2 rounds by the Ravens. Jamal Lewis and Ray Rice were the others. More from ESPN.com. Albany NFL draft hopeful A.J. Simon dies at the age of 25. Former Albany defensive lineman A.J. Simon, who was hoping to be selected in next week's NFL draft, has died at the age of 25, the school announced on Wednesday. The cause of Simon's death wasn't immediately known. The U Albany football program was deeply saddened to learn of the passing of former student athlete Amitrell A.J. Simon this morning, Albany said in a statement posted to X. AJ was a tremendous young man and even better teammate throughout his time at UAlbany. He was also a role model both on and off the field, serving as a pillar to this program over the last 2 years. Simon, who had 12.5 sacks last season for Albany, was ranked as the 448th prospect in the latest NFL draft rankings from ESPN's Matt Miller. Simon, a 2023 All-CAA first-team defensive selection, was from Tobiana, Pennsylvania. He played the past two seasons for Albany after beginning his collegiate career at Bloomsburg University. My prayers are dedicated to the Simon family. I love you, AJ, and will always have a special place in my heart for number 8. Albany coach Greg Gattuso posted to X. More from ESPN.com. Sources: NFL officiating chief set for new role in restructure. Kevin Seifert writes this article again for ESPN. NFL officiating chief Walt Anderson is stepping aside amid a larger reorganization of the league's officiating department, sources confirm to USA Today, to make that ESPN. Anderson, who retired as a referee back in 2019, initially joined the officiating department as its senior vice president of training and development. Under the initial vision, he was to work alongside two other executives, Perry Fuel and Al Riverson, to lead certain segments of the department. Ultimately, however, Anderson unofficially ascended to the top leadership position. Riverin left his full-time role in 2021, while Fuel is expected to continue in his role. Anderson is expected to remain with the league in some capacity, and his job shift will eliminate the nepotism rules that prevented the NFL from hiring his son Derek as an official last year. The NFL has not confirmed Anderson's decision or named a replacement. Sources had said over the past year that the league favors having former coaches, such as Fuel, in its officiating leadership group. It quietly hired longtime assistant George Stewart in 2023 to serve as vice president of training and development. Bill Belichick is going to join Pat McAfee for the NFL draft show. Bill Belichick, known as a man of few words, while the head coach of the New England Patriots, is ready to share his thoughts about next week's NFL draft. Belichick will be part of the team on the Pat McAfee Show Draft Spectacular, which is going to be airing opening night of the draft on YouTube and on ESPN+, McAfee announced on Wednesday. Draft is going to be held April the 25th through the 27th in Detroit. I'm looking forward to it, a relaxed-looking Belichick told McAfee. Draft weekend's always an exciting time for everybody, for the teams that are building their teams, and for the fans, and for everybody involved in it. So, you know, it's a great event, and yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it and you from the other side. It's going to be a fun night in Detroit. Belichick's known for his frequent trades during the draft, said he expects to chip in what he knows about draft day dealing. I think I can, you know, give a little insight into maybe what the conversations will be in those rounds, he said. I've made a few trades in my day. Belichick and the Patriots agreed to part ways in January, and he was not hired to fill a vacancy during the 2024 coaching cycle. It is widely anticipated that Belichick, who turned 72 on Tuesday, will wind up working in TV in some capacity this fall. The architect of 6 Super Bowl winning teams in New England, Belichick built a 302-165 career record with the Patriots between 2000 and 2023 and the Cleveland Browns from 1991 to 1995. Belichick left New England with 333 career victories, including playoffs, second all-time behind Don Shula's 347. The 2024 season will be the first time since 1975 that Belichick will not be coaching in the NFL. An attorney is saying that O.J. Simpson was cremated and no public memorial is being planned. Former football star and celebrity criminal defendant O.J. Simpson was cremated on Wednesday, the lawyer handling his estate said. Simpson died April the 10th at his Las Vegas home at the age of 76. He had been diagnosed last year with prostate cancer. Attorney Malcolm LaVerge told the Associated Press that he was present, along with unspecified other people, for the event at Palm Mortuary in downtown Las Vegas on Wednesday morning. "I am able to verify that O.J. Simpson was cremated today," LaVerge said shortly afterward. "Others were present, but I'm not disclosing who." He declined to provide details of the process. A telephone message for Palm Mortuary was not immediately returned. LaVerge, who handled O.J. Simpson's trust and estate in Nevada State Court, said Simpson's cremains will be given to Simpson's children to do with as they please, according to the wishes of their father. No public memorial was planned, the attorney said. "You have to remember that they've shared O.J. with the world their entire lives," LaVerge said Tuesday of Simpson's surviving adult children of his first marriage, Arnell Simpson, who's 55, and Jason Simpson, who's 53. He also has two children with his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, before she was killed in 94, they being Sidney Simpson, who's now 38, and Justin Simpson, who is 35. They have the added burden that he is one of the most famous people on the planet and who is polarizing and who is surrounded by controversy. Simpson's children are the only beneficiaries to his estate, LaVerge said, adding he is now working to determine the value of Simpson's assets. He said Tuesday that Simpson did not own a home in the states where he had lived, including Nevada, California, and Florida. Simpson, you recall, was a record-setting football star during the 11 years as running back with the NFL, became a movie actor, a sportscaster, a television advertising pitchman, before he was famously acquitted of a criminal charge, alleged that he stabbed his ex-wife and her friend, Ronald Goldman, to death back in 1994 in Los Angeles. The proceedings in California in 96 became known as the trial of the century. Looking at the NBA, sources, Heat, Jimmy Butler is expected to miss several weeks. Miami Heat star Jimmy Butler is expected to be sidelined for several weeks with a right MCL injury that was suffered in Wednesday's loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. Sources are telling ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that Butler was hurt on his final play of the first quarter in Philadelphia. He remained in the game but scored a total of 12 points the rest of the way on 3-for-14 shooting as Miami's offense dried up after taking a 12-point halftime lead, allowing Philadelphia to come from behind and close a 105-104 victory. The Heat will host Chicago Bulls on Friday night, with the winner securing the number 8 seed in the Eastern Conference and a first-round playoff series matchup against the Boston Celtics. After leaking out for a potential fast-break layup in the first quarter, Butler tried to fake out Philadelphia's Kylie O'Byrne Jr. to attempt to make a layup, only to have his knee buckle. After it appeared, he landed on it, causing Butler to fall to the floor in pain. Butler said after the game that he would undergo an MRI on Thursday, adding, "I hope that I wake up and can stick and move. Right now, I can't say that's the case." Butler is a former Bull and Sixer. He scored 20.8 points in 60 games for the Heat this season. He's a six-time All-Star. He said he stayed in Wednesday's game because he thought adrenaline would kick back in and he would feel healthy enough to play at his usual level. Butler's absence only adds to Miami's major injury issues, with point guard Terry Rozier out with a neck strain and shooting guard Duncan Robinson bothered by a back injury. Robinson was cleared to play Wednesday night, but he did not appear in the game. Now we look at baseball, and this article is entitled Astros' Justin Verlander to make his season debut Friday, today versus the Nationals. Houston Astros ace Justin Verlander will make his season debut and Friday night at the Washington Nationals. Houston manager Joe Espada made the announcement on Wednesday. Getting him back is huge because it brings a level of confidence to our team, a boost of confidence that we're trying to get someone who's been an MVP, a Cy Young winner, on the mound, Espada said. It's good for the morale and to get stuff started and moving in the right direction. The three-time Cy Young Award winner opened the season on the injured list with inflammation in his right shoulder. He made two rehabilitation starts, the first for AAA Sugarland on April 7th and the second on Saturday for AA Corpus Christi. Espada wouldn't say how many pitches Vellinger, who's 41, would be limited to, but said they're going to keep an eye on his workload. We've got to be careful how hard we push him, Espada said. I know he's going to want to go and stay out there and give us the opportunity to win, but we've got to be cautious of how hard we push him early in the season. Verlander wasn't thrilled with the results in his rehabilitation starts, but he did say Monday that those games were valuable in getting him prepared to come off the injured list. He allowed 7 hits and 6 runs, 5 earned, in 4 innings against Frisco on Saturday. He struck out 3, walked 1, and threw 51 of 77 pitches for strikes. Verlander allowed 6 earned runs and struck out 6 while pitching into the 4th inning for Sugarland on April the 7th. The Astros have gotten off to a tough start with Verlander and fellow starters Framber Valdez and Jose Urquidy on the injured list. They entered Wednesday's game last in the American League West with a 6-13 record. Espada hopes Verlander can be the boost the team needs to get on track. It's good to get him back in the rotation, Espada said. With that, he means to this club, just to get him back on track, getting some innings from him to build our rotation with their pieces that we need to move forward. All that is very exciting. Now we're going to turn to golf. Again, this is from ESPN.com, and this article is entitled Answering Golf's Biggest Questions After Scottie Scheffler's Masters Win. The 2024 Masters Tournament is over for the second time in 3 years. Scottie Scheffler reigns supreme. With Scheffler now the owner of 2 green jackets, the rest of the major season will feature the world's best players trying to take down the world's number one. From Scheffler's potential to Rory McIlroy's major quest to Tiger Woods' future plans, here are 6 lingering questions as the golf world shifts its focus from Augusta to the PGA Championship at the Valhalla Country Club in May. What's the ceiling for Scheffler? I honestly don't think Scheffler has a ceiling right now. Over the past 2 years, he has matured tremendously as a golfer. He admitted Sunday that playing golf will become less of a priority after his wife Meredith gives birth to their first child later this month. But Scheffler also said that he will always care deeply about winning golf tournaments, almost wanting to win too much. I think capturing a second green jacket is confirmation that he's the best golfer in the world. He has won 9 times since February 2022, but only one of them was in a major championship. Now he has won 2 green jackets. I don't think it's a question of whether Scheffler will win another major championship. It's a question of how many he is going to win and how long it's going to take him to pile them up. Honestly, is it too early to talk about him winning the potential Grand Slam this season? His ball striking and short game are at a completely different level than the rest of the field he's playing. Scheffler has played 35 competitive rounds in PGA Tour events this season. The AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am was shortened to 54 holes because of weather and still hasn't recorded a round over par. That's absurd. I try not to think about the past or the future too much, Scheffler said. I love trying to live in the present. I've had a really good start to the year, and I hope that I can continue on the path that I'm on. I'm going to continue to put in the work that's got me here. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm going to continue to put in the work, keep my head down. I like when I step up to the tee at the tournament, being able to tell myself that I did everything I could to play well, and the rest isn't up to me. Scheffler isn't just the best golfer in the world right now. He also seems to be the most self-aware and level-headed one, too. That's a dangerous combination. On Sunday, Scheffler showed he can win any tournament he plays in, and that he has the perfect mindset to do just that. I feel like playing professional golf is an endlessly not satisfying career, Scheffler said. I wish I could soak this up a little bit more. Maybe I will tonight when I get home, but at the end of the day, I think that's what the human heart does. You always want more, and I think you have to fight those things and focus on what's good. Don't get Scheffler wrong. He still wants to win, and he said as much, admitting how much he loves winning and hates losing. As if to prove his point, he's teeing it up at Hilton Head on Thursday and will undoubtedly be the favorite to win. That's Scheffler's new reality, if it wasn't already before. He will be expected to win and questioned when he doesn't. But if anyone is prepared to shoulder those expectations, it's him. And if anybody has the game to keep winning, be it PGA Tour events or majors this year and beyond, once again, it's him. Is Rory ever going to complete the career Grand Slam? I'm still a believer in Rory finally winning a green jacket and becoming only the sixth men's golfer to complete the career Grand Slam in the Masters era. I don't think his performance at Augusta National was a result of him buckling under pressure or wanting a green jacket too much. His current form just isn't great, and he knows it. McIlroy carded a 1-under 71 in the first round and a 6-over 77 in the second. He didn't play well in the windy conditions, but he wasn't the only one who struggled. He was just one top 10 finish in 7 tour events, so his results weren't great coming into Augusta National. After Sunday's round, McIlroy said he was confident he can turn things around before he plays the final 3 majors. He's scheduled to play in this week's RBC Heritage and with Shane Lowry in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans team events. That's going to happen the 25th through 28th of April. It sounds like Rory is going to keep grinding to figure things out. Yeah, probably. Not the right time to be analytical at the moment, but I think as well as if you're really going to make wholesale changes, it's hard to play a lot of golf and make them at the same time, McIlroy said. I don't feel like I need to make wholesale changes. That's why I'm playing a lot. But if the time comes that I need to make wholesale changes with my golf swing and really try to reassess it, it could be 6 months to a year process. I don't think I'm there yet, but there may come a time when I need to address that and really just take it back to the drawing board. Everything about McIlroy's experience and talent indicates that he will win another major, whether it come in August at Augusta, it's a whole other question. As the 4-time major winner talked about this week, he has tried almost every different approach coming into the Masters, arriving early, arriving late, and though he has done everything from finish in the top 10 to miss the cut in the past few years, he has yet to come close to winning. Well, that wraps up sports from ESPN.com. Again, this is for Friday, and it's April the 19th, 2024. My name is Mary McConnell. Thank you.